This episode is brought to you in part by the American Homebrewers Association, host of HomebrewCon, where homebrewers gather to learn new things, talk shop, browse the latest homebrew equipment, and enjoy great beer. Legendary beer town Portland, Oregon will host the conference from June 28th through June 30th. Make the pilgrimage to Beervana in June. Details at homebrewcon.org. Welcome to Basic Brewing Radio for Thursday, May 24th, 2018. I'm James Spencer. Here at Basic Brewing Radio, we're all about homebrewing. This week, Steve Wilkes and I evaluate the second round of something we're calling the Hop Sampler. In this installment, we up the alpha acid level and delve into Calypso, Apollo, and Experimental 07270. Will we like them? Will we be able to tell the difference? Will Steve say, "We're splitting hairs here"? Stay tuned. If you go to basicbrewing.com, you can find archives of our audio and video shows, our DVDs, our brewer's logbooks, and other Basic Brewing gear. You can get it free stickers whenever you buy anything from our basicbrewingshop.com. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Basic Brewing and find our show page and Facebook. We have a cool Basic Brewing app on iTunes and Amazon.com, and we're found all over the place where fine podcasts are served up. And if you'd do us a favor of rating us on iTunes and maybe leaving a nice comment, they say that'll help new listeners to find us. And if you want to support us financially, check out patreon.com/basicbrewing. I interviewed Dick Cantwell about his new book, Brewing Eclectic IPA, Pushing the Boundaries of India Pale Ale. You'll hear that next week. It's a great conversation. And inspired by one of his recipes in that book, this week I brewed a rosemary IPA using freshly cut rosemary from about 5 feet from my brew pot. So talk about local. Well, I've never brewed with rosemary before, and the recipe called for it to be added in the mash, at the end of the boil, and in conditioning. I used 2 ounces or 56 grams of rosemary branches in the mash, and when I spelled the mash at the end of the rest, you know, it didn't exactly smack me in the face with, you know, rosemary character, but there was sort of a savory, almost minty hint there, and I liked it a lot. I used Green Bullet hops, which is different from what Dick called for. Green Bullet is described as spicy, with dried fruit character, a high level of floral oil that complements and balances the piney, resinous hop character. So I'm really looking forward to tasting how the rosemary pairs with that. And I especially like the idea of using something that's growing in my yard. I've got a giant dill fern next to the rosemary. Maybe I'll save that for a small batch experiment, though. We're going to take June off from posting this podcast, and this is probably the last time that you'll hear about this opportunity to save $20 from our newest sponsor before then, Poncho's Keg Cooler from Poncho's Brewing Lab down in Texarkana, Texas. You've heard me talk about it a couple times before. It's a 20-gallon water cooler that's specifically designed to hold and chill a 5-gallon corny keg. It's really cool. Every time I post a picture of this cooler on Instagram and Twitter and such, people get really excited about it. And I can understand why. It's a neat idea. Pancho Lozano came up with this idea because he was tired of messing with jockey boxes, the cleaning, the keeping the lines balanced, and knowing that, you know, his keg was sitting out in the summertime heat away from the ice in the box. So your beer gets warm in the keg, and then you got to cool it down again in forget it. So Pancho's solution is to keep the keg in with the ice the whole time and mount a tap on this giant, beautiful cooler. You can keep up to a 2.5-pound CO2 tank in the cooler with the keg along with the regulator, or you can run a line out to a bigger tank outside the cooler, which is what I do. It fits either ball lock or pin lock kegs and requires only a 10-pound bag of ice if your keg is already cold from your kegerator. So I used mine twice so far with outside get-togethers, and people, they really have a lot of fun with this thing. They just go, they're not intimidated at all. They go up and they just get themselves a beer. I'm planning to do another get-together with the Rosemary IPA if it turns out well. That's my next thing to go on the keg. I love gear that multitasks, so between parties, you can convert your Poncho's keg cooler into a 20-gallon mash tun, which is also cool. Check out this cool, innovative product at PanchosBrewingLab.com. That's P-A-N-C-H-O-S, BrewingLab.com. And if you use the code BBR when purchasing, you'll save $20 on your Poncho's keg cooler. Do it now while you're thinking about it, and look for Poncho at HomebrewCon in Portland, and thank him for his support of this podcast when you see him. I've done a couple more things brewing-wise since I last talked to you. I bottled my 2-gallon batch of robust porter that I pitched an oak spiral into. A couple weeks ago, the beer was very roasty and kind of boozy. I was thinking about putting some smoky flavor in there, but I decided to go with oak instead. So the oak, since I pitched it in there, the oak or maybe just thyme has mellowed the beer out quite a bit. It's rounder and a bit more balanced, and I'm looking forward to seeing how the bottle conditioning will treat it. It's a little over 8% ABV, and I usually don't brew that big, but with the 2-gallon batch, I only came out with 3 6-packs, so it all balances out. Also, the next round of the hop sampler is in the fermenting jugs. This time I went across the pond, so to speak, to pick a UK Fuggle, German Hallertauer, and Pearly. We're back to around 5% alpha acid this time, and I'm hoping to have those samples up at HomebrewCon. Steve and I are planning to ship some stuff up there. So we can enlist the help of others to evaluate round 3. Speaking of HomebrewCon, our sponsors Desiree and Dave from High Gravity in Tulsa are giving away a Warthog 10-gallon 2-vessel electric system at HomebrewCon in Portland. They're giving it away. The good news is you don't have to be there to win it. Details about the drawing are at highgravitybrew.com and on their Facebook page. It's an awesome system. It's got 2 15-gallon vessels, a Warthog EBC-130 controller, which is what I have, a Riptide pump, a Therminator plate chiller. It includes the plumbing between the vessels and everything you need except for the ingredients and the electricity. You can register online until Sunday, June 24th, and the system will be given away Saturday morning, June 30th, live on Facebook. Again, go to highgravitybrew.com or the High Gravity Facebook page to find out all the details. Man, this system it's really cool. Electric brewing takes the pain out of propane. Check out all the electric brewing systems and controllers at family-owned and operated highgravitybrew.com. And I'm looking forward to seeing Desiree and Dave up there at Portland. They have a wide variety of systems to choose from. And controllers, too. HighGravityBrew.com. Okay, we've gotten good feedback from our first round of our hop sampler project. The process is simple. I started with the 3 quarts or 3 liters of water, and to that, as it warmed up, I added a pound or 450 grams of Pilsen Light Dry Malt Extract. And as soon as that wort hit the boil, I turned off the heat and added 1/2 ounce of each hop in each batch, and let it sit for 30 minutes. And after that, I chilled and added 3 grams of USO5, Safale USO5 yeast. The reason I explain this now is in case my explanation wasn't as clear as possible in the tasting portion, just making sure all the questions are answered. So now we take you to round 2 of the hop sampler with Steve Wilkes of stevesbrewshop.com. Well, Steve Wilkes, welcome back to Basic Brewing Radio.
Thanks, James. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you for inviting me into your home as we sit and taste these tasty beers.
That's why it's a pleasure to be here.
It gets more
I'm at home.
It's more pleasurable all the time, too.
That's right.
So this is the second round of our hop sampler. We really enjoyed doing the first one. And do you remember what the first hops were? This is a test.
Oh, Lord. Cascade... And 2 others?
Yes. The show always winds up in a...
cluster. Because we love our Liberty?
No.
No?
Mount Hood.
Oh, that's right. We had to climb Mount Hood.
Yeah, we had the Karnak joke.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
I didn't work out any Karnak jokes for these three. So basically the experiment is, I take 3 quarts or 3 liters of water, And then I take 1 pound or 450 grams of Pilsen Light dry malt extract, and I bring that up to a boil, and I made three batches. So in that, then I shut off the fire, and then I added in one batch half an ounce or 14 grams of experimental 07270. And then the second one I added 5 ounces or 14 grams, or 0.5 ounces, not 5 ounces. Oh my God, we wouldn't have any tongue left. Half an ounce or 14 grams of Apollo. And by the way, the experimental was or 07270 was at 16.6%. Half an ounce or 14 grams of Apollo in the second batch at 17.8%. And half an ounce or 14 grams of Calypso at 14.7%. So all of these end with a big O.
They certainly do. And don't we all want that in our lives?
To end with a big O?
End with a big O.
Well, yes.
I say, Sapphire.
And then I wound up with the original gravity. Oh, and I let that sit for 30 minutes. And let it cool naturally for 30 minutes. And the starting gravity was 1060. Final gravity was 1010. And I pitched each with 3 grams of US05. And I've got one of those little, you know, drug scales that you get on Amazon or whatever, where you can, I think it weighs to the 100th of a gram or something ridiculous.
Wow. Did you get it at the Breaking Bad store?
Yeah. They were going out of business.
The Blue Rock Special?
So in the first experiment, those were the alpha acids. Cascade was 6.3%, Cluster was 6.6%, and Mount Hood was 5.6%. So these are mathematically more than twice as much alpha acids as the first batch. And I've got a sore on my tongue, so if I sound like, if I start talking like Tom Brokaw, there's a reason why that. Anyway, I've been eating too much tomato sauce or something. Anyway, so the alpha acid level is more than twice as much, but I used the same amount because I was like, let's just let that be the standard. The way because if you start calculating weighing based on percentage of alpha acid, then you're like, you know, I would have had to add like less than a quarter of an ounce of each of these.
Yeah.
And to me, that didn't seem fair.
No, this is a much simpler way to explore the hop, because that's what we're doing. And so, yeah, this is a simple is good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I am struck at how much more substantial these beers are.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot more beer here.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, the hop flavor is just so much more juicy than that first batch. The first batch, the hop flavor was present, but it was nice and kind of balanced and delicate. There's nothing delicate about these.
No, there's not.
They're delicious, I think. I think they're really good.
Yeah, I like all three beers quite well. But to amplify on that, I remember the first experiment, I thought the beers were light and just really easy drinkers. You know, they were just nice little session beers. So correct me if I'm wrong, but these have the exact same alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not any stronger beer in that sense, but they sure drink like they are.
Yeah.
They drink as a much bigger beer.
Yeah, they're 6.6% alcohol again,
mm-hmm.
but they're not nearly as quaffable. You know, you don't want to just like gulp, you know, and ooh, this is not a lawnmower beer at all.
No, unless you got a big ass yard.
A BAY.
A BAY. Sorry for the French there, but
I say.
What's that, Blackadder?
So let's, you have some paperwork there.
I do.
Some background on these, on the different hops. So where do you want to start?
Well, let's start with the Apollo.
All right.
Okay, because if you play the
showtime,
if you play the Apollo, you've arrived. So one of these hops is Apollo, and I thought it was very interesting to learn that it's a daughter of Zeus.
Hmm.
So Zeus is a hop that I've never used before, and based on the description, might not want to.
So how is Zeus described?
Well, black pepper, onion, and light citrus.
Mm.
And so at the onion,
it's good for fish.
It's good for fish. It's good on fish. Good in calamari. But so anyway, you know, I like Apollo and I use it quite often. It's described as having a monstrous alpha acid percentage of 15 to 19%. It makes it a popular bittering hop for big IPAs, which that's I do use it for that. It says it's dank with resinous aromas and flavors, but also offers some nice bright citrus elements. Originally, it was only used as a bittering hop, but has found a recent resurgence as a dual-purpose hop. Apollo has excellent storage stability, and it has very high alpha acid, good storage, low cohumulin. Added late to the boil, it's said to provide a strong grapefruit and hoppy note.
So strong grapefruit. And what's our source for that?
Yakima Valley.
Okay.
Yeah. And I would agree with all of that. I actually prefer to use it as a late hop addition than as a bittering hop, though it certainly works for that. Mm-hmm. So I've become a pretty big fan of it. I put this particular hop in my grapefruit IPA.
Oh, yeah, your kit.
Yeah, the kit, and I think it works really well in there. So that is our hop number one.
And I forgot to mention that we did. This is a blind tasting. I covered the bottle caps with duct tape, and then you randomized them, and then we poured the samples, and now we got 1, 2, and 3 written on the top of the caps, and we got 1, 2, and 3 written on our cups.
Yep.
But we don't know which is which.
No, we don't. So, shall we comment on beer number one? What do you
think? Oh, okay. Yeah.
This is an evolving format.
It is.
And it's not necessary. We're not identifying beer number one.
No.
It's just that we're commenting on beer number one.
That's right. So we're not saying that this is Apollo. We're just,
right.
Yeah, okay. So beer number one.
Beer number one.
It's dank and resinous. One of the things I'm really struck is that the beers are all really similar, but one of them does stand out as being considerably different. This isn't one of the ones that's different to me. It has a sister mm-hmm. up here, I think.
Yeah, I think 1 and 2, if I can do a spoiler alert for number two,
sure.
No, 1 and 2 are very similar to me in that they have a strong, very strong grapefruit flavor. Number one, to me, the grapefruit flavor is almost like overripe grapefruit.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like too far. You know, it's like the grapefruit character is kind of dark, and maybe that's dank. But it's like the grapefruit has just like been on the counter a little too long. It's the brightness has gone away, and it's just like, it's grapefruit, but it's like, you know, John Palmer describes Mosaic as rotten fruit. this would approach that kind of, to me, mm-hmm. more overripe grapefruit character.
I agree with you. I actually quite like the beer, but I completely get what you're saying. So when I was a little kid and Mom would make us eat grapefruit, it always tasted like that to me.
Did you shove it in your face like Jimmy Cagney?
That's right.
Ain't you got a drink in the house?
Well, not before breakfast, dear.
Okay.
So number one, I think, is overripe grapefruit. How would you encapsulate your description of number one?
Big grapefruit flavor, but I also think it goes to a softer tangerine note at the end. And the beer is the least bright in terms of the fruit flavor to me.
Yes.
So that's where I really agree with you on the kind of overripe sensation of it. But again, I like the beer.
Mm-hmm.
But also, you're right. These are not beers you're going to drink in healthy doses.
This is just a demonstration. Although, you know, if I were served this, I would probably drink a pint of that. You know, it's not objectionable. It's not like nasty or anything.
No, not at all. And they kind of remind me of just, you know, those big kind of Colorado hot bombs in a way.
All right. Pardon me. Okay, so now what's the description of the next? Who wants to get you? Who do you want to go with? Calypso or experimental?
Calypso.
Calypso.
So Calypso, it's a cross between Hopsteiner, a female hop source. I'm trying to read and I don't read very well. And a male derived from Nugget. So daddy was a Nugget and mommy was a Hopsteiner.
How is Calypso described?
Calypso is a diploid aromatype hop. I was called a diploid in high school.
Now, diploid refers to the amount of chromosomes in... we had a triploid last time, and then I think that's... You have three sets of chromosomes, I think. If I can remember back to, you know, to senior year of high school in advanced biology class... I think that that's what that refers to.
It's said to be pleasantly fruity with a pear and apple, with pear and apple notes.
Oh.
And I have a feeling about that. One of these kind of does that for me. It's a high alpha acid hop. It's 12% to 14%, so not as high as Apollo. Pleasant fruity characteristics. It says it's resistant to powdery and downy mildews. So you got to like that.
Which is important in the brew pot.
Well,
I can't remember how many times a brew has been ruined by the downy mildew. It's more if you're growing it that you want to worry about the downy mildew.
That's right. Or yeah, exactly. And downy mildew. Well, of course, it's...
You don't want the Morton downy mildew.
That's right. That's
right. So what do you have? Any what's a nugget? Do you have any info on Nugget?
Yes, I do. As a matter of fact, Nugget is a high alpha variety released in 1983 from the USDA breeding program in Oregon. It's characterized by a mild herbal aroma, low proportion of cohumulin, and good storage stability. Nugget is the second most widely grown hop in Oregon, and it's also has significant acreage in Washington State. So it's an 11.5% to 14% alpha acid hop.
And this is the daddy of Calypso.
Right.
And that info is from the Fresh Hops website.
That's right. So
more spicy on the Nugget.
Mm-hmm. And I like Nugget. We carry Nugget and use it in some of the beers that we do. And fairly popular here. You know, different brewers here will use it, unprompted from me.
In what capacity? Is bittering or later?
A little of both, actually. Interesting. Okay.
So Nugget is a parent of Calypso.
Along with the Hopsteiner.
Along with a hop parent to be named later by Hopsteiner, I guess.
That's right.
So, shall we move on to sample number two?
Yes.
That's darn tasty. You go first.
I like number two.
I do too.
I like number two the best. And I won't make a prediction yet, but it's a little softer than the other two beers as far as the way that the hops hit me, so it's a little more pleasant, I guess. And there's a nice apple and pear fruity. I think this is Calypso, but I'm not sure. But I think it's Calypso, based on what I've read and what I'm tasting. And the beer just seems to really work well with this malt base. I quite like this beer.
Yeah, it's really good. I was getting, in earlier tastings, it was like number one light to me. It was like, was grapefruit, but... kind of a citrusier, brighter citrusy flavor of grapefruit, not as dark and rotten as or overripe as number one, but a more pleasant presentation of grapefruit with maybe a little more tartness. But now when I just tasted it, these have been warming for a while, I get like mango in there as well. So I get like grapefruit and mango.
Yeah, and you know, when we first tasted them, though, it's going away. I got kind of almost a savory character from it, which I'm not getting so much now. And maybe that was just me reading about Zeus and the onion thing, but...
That's my favorite myth, Zeus and the onion.
Well, they wore it on their belts.
Because that was the fashion.
Yeah, that's right. That's when Olympia was called Shelbyville. But but it had a really nice kind of, it kind of finished a little savory, and I liked that about it. It's, again, it's kind of changed. It's not doing that so much anymore, but I still like the beer. It's my favorite of the three.
Savory in a kind of an oniony kind of way?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it just...
Let me stick that in your head.
Yeah, I know, right. It's like I don't know. I don't, onion, maybe more like thyme.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, kind of an herbal...
essence.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
That's tasty.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is I'm getting more mango now than grapefruit.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah, the grapefruit seems to be fading, and you're mm-hmm. right, the kind of juicier, softer fruits are coming out. Cool.
Okay.
All right. Now we're moving on to
experimental 07270, which was my zip code in high school. No.
That's right. So this is a hop yet to be named, other than with the 07270.
And this comes from Hopsteiner. This
comes from Hopsteiner, the information. And it's described as being spicy, resinous.
Take three.
And tangerine.
Ooh.
And it's a child of Apollo and Target. And Target coming from the U.K., that really surprised me. I was pleasantly surprised to hear that. But what I'm not really sure that I understand is if it's 50% Apollo and 25% Target, this is according to Hopsteiner, where's the other 25%?
That's the secret.
That's the secret.
That's why it's experimental.
Okay.
I guess. I don't know.
Well, it says the maturity is very late on it. So it's a millennial beer, millennial hop. Still on your health insurance. And again, it's another high alpha acid hop. It's 15 to 18.5 in alpha acids, and we don't really care about beta acids, do we?
I don't know
if we do or not, but I don't really know much what to say about the beer about the hop, since I don't know which is which.
Well, we could talk about Target, though.
Oh, that's right,
because that's apparent. It's apparent.
This is a super Target. So Target being one of its parents that we haven't talked about, it goes to sage and citrus and spice. And it's used in bittering, and its bitterness is said to be sharp and assertive. And the flavor intensity is said to be 9 out of 10. Now, this is coming from the British Hop Association. So they have a little bit different way of describing things. It says it's a bit of all right.
Bob's your uncle.
It's a Bob's your uncle and a bit of all right. And what's all this then? So, good morning.
Are you free?
I'm free. So, Target is another one of my really favorite hops. So that's kind of cool that these all play together in, hops that I use a lot. The Target, I like to use it as a bittering hop. In my British beers, I like the way it works in them. So to know that some of the 07270 is coming from Target, that's kind of cool. Don't know what it means yet, but it's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the 90210 hop is from the 90s.
Okay, so let's talk about number three.
Number three.
I shouldn't have had that taffy before I came.
Actually, now that this has warmed some, I'm more confused than ever.
You're waffling.
I thought one and three were very close together.
Ooh.
And that, which was different than what you thought.
Yes.
And I thought number two was very different. Mm. I went number one, then I went number two.
We'll clean that up later.
I'm feeling much better. But now number three seems to be just soft and mango-y. I mean, they're all kind of, other than the dank monster at the front, that's still pretty dank. Okay, number one.
Okay, so how would you characterize number three?
Well, I'm working on it. Let's see.
Well, while you're doing that, let me see if I can influence you. I thought that number three was kind of the most sort of traditional hop character to me. I got more kind of piney, spicy, but at the same time an underlying grapefruit character, but more of a lemony grapefruit character than the other two, which were kind of more grapefruity grapefruit. This was like a fruit salad. Imagine a fruit salad where you got grapefruit, you got a little bit of lemon juice on that, and then you got some pine needles in there.
and a bunch of the white stuff
from the lemon.
The pith. Gesundheit.
Sorry.
So
dank grapefruit, number one.
Mm-hmm.
Mango grapefruit, number two.
Yeah.
Lemon grapefruit, number three.
Yeah. With some pine, to me, some pine, a little bit of piney, and just a little bit of spice, like peppery almost. Just a little teeny tiny bit.
And so I think we're in agreement that the three beers are different.
Mm-hmm.
That there's a substantial difference between each one of these hops.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I don't know what that means.
Well, it means maybe our palates are getting better, or...
Yeah.
Or
we didn't start drinking at noon.
Maybe we're just convincing ourselves of that. So I thought... I think that number three is the standout, and that one and two seemed more closely related to me.
Boy.
But don't let me talk you out of what you got.
I'm starting to get palate fatigue, meaning I'm starting to not be able to distinguish it. These are really hot bombs.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of juice.
There's a lot going on. But now I'm starting to think I like number three the best. It's pretty crazy.
Mm. I like number two a lot because it's so juicy and so mangoey and so fruity. But I think I like number three more because it's got that fruitiness, but then it's got layered in. It's more multi-layered. It's got the fruitiness in there, but then it's also got a hint of that, or a touch of that piney, almost resinous thing going on with a little bit of a bite of like a spice. And so to me, it's more balanced. You know, and these are single hop and single malt beers. So they can tend to be, they can tend to be flat. Is it?
They might be flat.
So it's tricky, but that to me is the most complex hop character.
I agree with you. But now I'm going to switch just to be contrary and say that I'm back to liking number two the best because I like the way the mango-y tropical fruit really comes out in that. Number one is my least favorite by a pretty wide margin. Though, again, if you'd served me a cold pint of this at the beginning of the evening, I'm sure I would have enjoyed it. But there's something about the way the hops or the beer finishes on my tongue that's a very unpleasant kind of bitterness that kind of wraps around and strangles it like a tourniquet. It's just kind of like, ah, I've got a hold of you.
It's very pungent. It's,
yeah.
It's very overpowering.
Yes, it is.
I said earlier that you could use a dose of Miller Lite or Coors Light, you know, and it would equal it out a little bit, you know, So I like number three the best. You like number two the best.
Yeah, I think I do.
We each like number one the least.
The least. And I could see number one as a lighter addition hop in the palette of hop flavor.
Yeah. used in proportion, I think it would be good.
Yeah.
Okay, so guesses.
Oh.
So now we have to remember what the three... I think... I'm going to go first. I'm going to think... I think that number three is the 07270 because of its English influence with Nugget. Or Target, rather. Not Nugget. Target.
Okay. I'm going to agree with you. And I'm going to say that number two is Calypso. Because it's got that Holiday Island thing going on. It's got,
you're hearing the tin drum.
I'm hearing the tin drum. I'm getting some jerk chicken, and I'm I'm on the beach. And I'm going to say that Apollo is the is number one, and it's got that black pepper and onion, and maybe that's the dank thing going on there. So let's... Shall we see how we did?
Yeah. Okay, unpeel.
Okay, I'm going to unpeel number one.
Unpeel, as my grandma might say.
That's right.
She would unfreeze things. Or unthaw. No, she would unthaw. Uh-oh. Now your expression, I'm afraid. Should we start all over again?
Yeah, we needed to redo the whole show.
Oh, no.
Number one is 07270.
Oh, no. Spicy, resinous, and tangerine. Boy, I didn't get that at all.
I did not get the tangerine.
No.
Maybe a little bit when it was cold at first, but after it warmed, I didn't get that a bit. Interesting. Wow.
Wow.
Okay, number two, which we said was Calypso. I said it was Calypso.
Well, I agreed.
It's Apollo.
Oh, we're all wrong.
Okay. Well, I can guess what this is.
Yeah.
Then. Yeah. How interesting. Well, it just shows you.
So we were all wrong.
But
we're basing our opinions on these spec sheets.
That's right.
So we'll blame them.
It would be interesting now to go back. We've got three other beers, which are clearly marked.
Right.
And then to go back and revisit them as a fresh pour, maybe not for the show, but it'll be interesting to do that. That's crazy. So what's our track record now? If we're in Vegas.
Well, I got one last time. I identified Cascade last time, I think.
That's right. You did.
So I'm one out of six.
I'm zero out of six, I think.
So my favorite was Calypso.
Your favorite was Calypso. My favorite was Apollo.
Huh.
And neither one of us liked the 07270.
Yeah. I mean, it was, again, used in proportion.
Right.
I think it would be all right.
Right.
But not our favorite in a smash beer, which is heavily hopped after the boil for 30 minutes.
Right.
This 1 gallon batch on my stove on April 27th.
As it were.
At 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Well,
wow.
I have learned something here today.
That is some learnings there.
Yeah, it is. Crazy. And I always did like number two best, which is... That's where the foundation money's going. So it makes me feel pretty good, actually.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Now we have time. I'll come into the shop here soon and pick out another set of three, and we can brew. I can brew some more beers. And you said that you're going to ship some beers up towards Portland.
I am. I'm going to put a care package together for a city with no beer.
Yeah, there's no beer.
There's no beer.
We have to ship our own beer.
Ship some in, in case there's no good beer.
But hopefully, hopefully we can recruit some volunteers to maybe do the next version of the hop sampler.
I think that would be terrific. On the hop stage in Portland.
In a hotel room somewhere.
Yeah, well, it's not a very big stage.
All right, Steve, this has been fun again.
Yeah, thanks, James.
Thanks again to Steve of stevesbrewshop.com. It's never been so fun to be wrong in these things. Maybe we'll have better luck next time with the UK Fuggle, German Hallertau, and Perley, hopefully, in Portland. Perley in Portland. If you have brewing questions, show suggestions, or just want to say howdy, write to James at basicbrewing.com or just fill out the contact form on basicbrewing.com. And please don't forget to tell us where you're from.
Thanks to everybody supporting us through our Patreon page. Special goodies coming your way. Check all that out at patreon.com/basicbrewing. Be sure to check out our DVDs, Extract Brewing and Partial Mashing, Stepping into All Grain, Low-Tech Lagering and Decoction Mashing, and Introduction to Wine Kits. You can find them all on our site. Get a free Basic Brewing bottle opener with any DVD combo, and you can check out our Basic Brewing shirts in the store, too. You can find our logbooks where you can track and log up to 50 batches of beer. Check all that out at basicbrewingshop.com and get free stickers with every order. Don't forget you can join the American Homebrewers Association and subscribe to Brew Your Own magazine through the associate links on basicbrewing.com. That's all until next time. Until then, thanks for listening, everybody. I'm James Spencer, production help for Basic Brewing Radio, and our website is provided by Kelly Dotson. Basic Brewing Radio is a production of Active Voicing. We'll talk to you next time, everybody. So long.